Can we punctuate that part of the service with an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Wow. I'm like falling apart in the front row. It's like, okay, God, I got to get up and deliver the message today. Isn't it great how God speaks? Just his word is so powerful that he can have a personal word with you. And that's just not reserved for a moment in a church service, but that's every day. Every day you can experience that transformation in that healing. We sang a song, I believe it was the last one, which is so powerful, but it said, "Wake me up from my sleep." I don't know where you were on Wednesday night at 2 a.m. in the morning, but my fire alarm started going off. I live in Tribuco Canyon, and my fire alarm started going off because the power was cut, and they just started, it's like I was like past REM sleep, you know, where it's like I was deeper than REM. There's no movement in the place where I was, and so the fire alarm starts going off. And of course, you know, we're coming out of it into this chaotic, annoying noise. You know, that fire alarm noise is the way it is for a reason. So we start getting up. Like, the only analogy I can come up with is like wind up toys with wheels on the bottom. We just like get out of bed and we're like, what's going on? What's happening? And Chrissy and I bumped into each other. And then I'm looking out the back door and there's red glow over there past Portola Hills. And it's just chaotic and the sound is going off. And we are really confused, and it's so disruptive. And Chrissy's like, can you turn that off? Do we need to pack the photo albums? Can you get my jewelry box? And then we're running around. I'm climbing on the ladder, and then the power comes back on, and the alarms stop. And then, like, we're in all these weird positions when that happens. Just like I'm there in my underwear on the ladder, trying to unhook the fire alarm. My wife's walking around. It was just a hilarious situation. But then I stepped back from it. When you have a situation like that, it's pretty good sometimes to just ask yourself, why did that happen? And when I stepped back from it, I thought, you know what? It was so annoying. It was so disorienting. It was so confusing. And we were super disrupted. Why? To move us out of where we are to where we need to be. And a lot of times when you experience difficult times, difficult life transitions, global pandemics, disruption, loss of job, loss of a loved one, just name it. Put your name on it, your situation. There is chaos, there is confusion, it's annoying, it can be disorienting. But can I just tell you, as we're learning in this series, could it be, God is behind and over and sovereign over the disruption. And far from not being involved in it, he has an intention behind the disruption to move you to a new destination. And that's what we learned last time. We learned that the Bible reveals a God who has personal plans, and his plans move your cheese. And we wrestle with that emotionally. Right? We also learned that the life we used to live, when God's calling us to a new chapter, the life we used to live will not hold the life God's calling us to live. He doesn't pour new wine and new experiences into old wineskins. So then we get into the conversation about growth and a journey and change. And God's all about that. But if you're like me, a lot of times I resist it. So I'm getting a lot out of this series. And then third, last week, we revealed through God's word that when God moves in a strong way, his version of our new reality, it's specific to you, but his version of your new reality, right, is not meant to improve your old one like an accessory, all right? It's meant to replace it. And we're in one of those seasons where we're all in the same boat. We're all going through all of these massive disruptions. And what we have to do is we have to kind of step back and we go, yeah, it's confusing. Yeah, it's annoying. Yeah, I'm not liking it a whole lot. But God is within it, and he's accomplishing something that without it wouldn't be accomplished. And we have to make that transition. It's really interesting, Christians, when they experience times like this where uncontrollable and unplanned and unpredictable things happen, especially in the West that's very consumer-oriented, they get kind of, well, they get sort of spiritually constipated, all right? I know that sounds funny, but let me explain what I mean. It's sort of like, well, my routine's been disrupted, and so God must have stopped flowing and moving and working. And so when he gets everything back to normal and he presses his reset button and my life goes back to living all the normal ways that I used to live, thinking the thoughts that I used to think, doing the things that I used to do and feeling the way I used to feel, then he'll start working again because he's following my life. And it's simply not true, and it's not biblical, but it's kind of funny to watch. When disruptions happen, they by default produce transitions. All right, will you say that with me? Disruptions produce transitions. Disruptions produce transitions. That's right. Things change. And I mean, go from no baby as a married couple to having a baby. Disruption, transition, change, add a second baby. Why not drown? Throw a third baby on the top. You know? I mean, just it's one of those things. I mean, being married, you know, being married and you lose a spouse, that's a disruption. It's a loss. It's painful. Produces a transition. And it's not an easy one. Go from the world as we knew it to a global pandemic. It's a transition. And here's where we're coming to terms in this series. When that happens and you can't control it, God is not just in it waiting to reorganize your life the way it used to be. He's moving powerfully within it, and he wants us to connect with his plan. You see, what's most important is not what's happening, even though our social media feeds and our cable news consumption goes right through the roof, and we want to know what color we're in and what Sacramento's doing and what's the Fed's doing and is there going to be another disbursement of monies that we could use. Anyway, not all that stuff. That's not the most important thing. What's important for God's people in disruption is how they're thinking about it. And what's God's role in all of this? In fact, if you're taking notes, I want you to take those out because we want to move from just knowing that there's God's in disruption, God has an intention, and he's actually moving us to some new destinations personally on our insides and our attitudes and our relationships as a community and as a church, to actually making the transition and changes that are happening right now that he wants to do. I put on your notes the definition of transition just because we need to get to a baseline. A transition is the process of changing from one situation or condition to another. In fact, let's go to class. Class, let's read the definition of a transition. Ready? The process of changing from one situation or condition to another. The Bible tells us that life is full of transitions. If you're a human being and you're on planet Earth, the Bible warns you that you're going to be making a lot of transitions. In fact, those transitions are at the same time joyful and sometimes painful. They're filled with purpose and power, and then some transitions are filled with confusion. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it says this, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to refrain from embracing, and a time to embrace." Now, I believe that we're in a disruptive period. We're in a transition period as people, as a community, as families, as couples. We're all trying to get our minds around it. And we have to go from refraining from embracing what God is doing in the midst of this to embracing some of the personal destinations and changes that he wants us to do. So let's talk about how we can let God's unplanned plan for our lives that we definitely didn't plan in 2019, how do we get God's unplanned plan moving in our lives right now? And we're going to go to a passage and a situation and a historical chapter in the Bible where there was a disruption, massive, and then a monologue from God to the person whose life was being disrupted. I'm talking about the transition of Moses dying and Joshua having to fill in those shoes. So I'm going to read a couple passages of scripture. I want you to listen in and just kind of get a feel for the disruption that this is, all the emotional attachments to what was, and then listen for God calling a person forward to make the transition. Deuteronomy 34, it says this, And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. So there's your context. All right, now let's look at a conversation. Actually, it's a monologue from God to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, quote, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong, courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, quote, go through the camp, tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. So let's unpack for a second that conversation. From a person whose life has been turned upside down, there's a massive disruption, and now he's struggling clearly, emotionally, to make the transition, right? But God meets Joshua right where he's at, and he moves in him and brings him from a place of weakness to a place of peace, purpose, and power. Let's say those three words. Peace, purpose, and power. One more time. Peace, purpose, and power. That's what's going to happen in the next chapter that God is bringing us to. So step one for Joshua and for us, write this down if you're taking notes. I accept my new reality circumstantially. I accept my new reality circumstantially. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I feel like I don't want to face the facts. I'd rather just complain about them. Anybody of you like kind of me? I kind of get stuck with, hey, everything's changing. Oh, I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of wearing a mask. I'm so tired of this relationship staying the same way. I'm so tired of, you know. But there's a reality that's happening that I'm fighting. That might be good if someone's trying to invade your home, but when you're walking with God and there are uncontrollable and unpredictable things that happen and you can't change them and he's over those unpredictable and uncontrollable things, there is a plan and he is calling you forward. That's why in verse 1 he says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, I want you to know the context of those words. He'd only been mourning Moses for a month. If you read the end of Deuteronomy, they've been mourning Moses for 30 days. So it's not like Joshua doesn't know that Moses is dead. But for this conversation, there is a reality that Joshua has to come to terms with. And, you know, when people talk to him, that's one thing. Or when he sees the mourning or participates in this stuff, there's some kind of detachment there where Joshua just needs a word from the Lord. And that word is going to punctuate a chapter ending and a new one beginning. And so when you read that, you go, wow, this is a period, not a comma. God is saying, this is over, this is beginning, this is where I'm calling you. So what's God saying to Joshua, and what's he saying to us? Write this down. There is no going back to the old, parenthetically, for you. There are a lot of things that are happening right now, maybe in a macro sense in the world, or maybe they're happening just in your life. Change is happening in both places. And my sense is, because of the Bible, the way the Bible describes life, that there's no going back, and there's a future for you, but you have to accept your new reality circumstantially. It's permanent. It's a period in your life. Now, just getting to that place is a step, but God doesn't stop there. Step two for Joshua, and I think for us as a church family and as individuals, is this: I accept my new responsibility personally. God punctuates the circumstance. One chapter is ending, but with God, he's not static. He's always working. His kingdom is advancing in us and through us. And so now Joshua has to get pushed. Listen to what God says in verse 2. Now then, so punctuation mark. Moses is dead, chapter end. Now then, now we're looking this way, that's behind us. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. God says, I know how you're feeling, but guess what? In the midst of how you're feeling, you got to start moving. You got to start moving. And I like this because he's speaking to me. A lot of times I try to feel my way into an action that God's calling me to do, like certain things have to be there. I have to feel really good about it. I have to know what the outcome is. There has to be some tracks laid out. And God's just like, no, boom, get moving. Feelings will come. You and all these people. So wherever Joshua was internally and emotionally, all of that's like, God's like, you know what? That's not going to drive where I'm taking you, how you feel about it. I'm calling you to this new place with a new purpose, and you're going to enter this land, and you're going to take possession of this next chapter. Get going. So not only is God saying there's no going back to the old for you, God is also saying there is, and write this down, there is an advance of my will unfolding. Can I just press the pause button right here on the message and just tell each and every one of you that see me online or are in the worship center or are on that patio out there or watching on Facebook, that there is an advance of God's will that's unfolding and he wants you to jump in. Anybody in here ever been whitewater rafting? Raise your hand. Okay, a lot of you. So after El Nino and 38 inches of rain, I thought a smart idea was to go raft the Upper Kern. Why not? All right, lot of water, a lot of snow, snowpack melts, class 5 rapids, right? And at the time that I went, there was 5 million cubic feet of water per second going by my toe. There were no like green spots of the Upper Kern. It was all white. And I thought, yeah, it's a good idea to get into that. And so I survived. But barely. And when I thought about my experience, I thought, well, that's sort of like the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is advancing, Jesus says, and forceful people lay hold of it. Once you're in it, you don't take it. It takes you. And it's wild and it's exciting. And when you get to a little eddy and you're done with your run, you just go, that was awesome. But I was scared. And that's what God's doing in your life. I'm looking at people right now. I'm looking at their faces. I'm seeing them. And there are some chapters. There's some risks that you need to take. There's the life that you know, and there's the life that God's calling you to. And there is an advance of his will, right? And we need to recognize that and respond to it. Listen, and release yourself to it. And that's the sticking point. You're not released yet. But something's shifting. Our pastoral team senses it. There's something shifting at Crossline Church. There's people that we're seeing that we didn't see before. There's people coming that haven't come before. There's people, like I said last week, popping their head up out of the ground like gophers, And they're going, oh, there's people meeting here. This is cool. And I can sit in the back and I can have a cup of coffee and do Bible study on Sundays. Okay, that's great. But bigger than that, there is something unfolding that is drawing people to a spot because God's moving. And what we're supposed to do when we're with each other, like iron sharpens iron, so one Christian sharpens another. Amen? And there's some things that are going to take a risk in your life that God's wanting you to do. His will is unfolding for us. And it's sort of like the potter clay image. We're just trying in this service and as people to be good clay. What's good clay in the hand of the potter? It's flexible. It's moldable. And it's surrendered to the vision of the potter. Can I ask you a question? Are you surrendered to the vision of the potter for your life? Does he have the freedom to move you into places and move your life and mold it and shape it the way he wants for the vision that he has for your life? So God's saying there's an advance of my will unfolding. Step three for Joshua, and I believe for us as believers, is I accept my new authority to take new territory. So Joshua needs to get pushed off his mark. He needs to acknowledge there's a punctuation mark and something new beginning. God gets him moving before he's feeling, because as he's moving, he'll start feeling. And now God starts speaking into what I believe is the emotional part of him, and he starts to encourage him and lift him up. It's like, all right, let's get going. Boom. And he gets him off the mark, and then he's just like, all right, here's what's in store. Joshua chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. I will give you every place where you set your foot. That's a good feeling if you're Joshua. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. That's a good thing. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Okay, that's what I was afraid of. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So God's new chapter has his stamp of authority. Can we say that together? God's new chapter has his stamp of authority. Wherever God is calling you, you got his stamp of authority to enter in and to possess that space, that dimension, that future that he has for you. And you can't see it all, but you're getting little glimpses. There's these little breadcrumbs on the journey with God. It's just like, I think I'm being led this way. There's a lot of you who are listening to me. This is your first time hearing me, or maybe hearing Pastor JP or Pastor Greg or seeing Taylor or Jordan, and you're kind of going, all right, what are these people like? What are they talking about? Well, we're all in the same boat with you. God's moving us forward. We have his stamp of authority. We've cleared customs. Imagine going to like Italy and like this beautiful country. You're going through customs, right? And you get your passport stamped. You know, they're like, how long are you going to be here? Where are you going to be? What are you doing here? Business or pleasure? You get it stamped. And then you stay in baggage claim. It's like, what are you doing? You know, sometimes that's how God feels. When he stamped your passport to go into the next chapter of your life, and you feel his leading, you see circumstances happening, you feel things inside, you see things, people speak into your life, you come to church, he speaks through a Selah moment, and then you're stuck in baggage claim. You're clear. Get going. Get into the adventure. Go see the sights in the kingdom of God. Take risks. Do things you haven't done before as God leads you. Now, in this passage, under accepting our new authority to take new territory, this is when the repeated phraseology happens. Be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. You're going to see it a third time. And then you have to ask yourself, okay, that's really encouraging for me. But who do you say be strong and courageous to? Do you say it to somebody who's already strong and courageous? Yes or no? No, absolutely not. You say it to someone who's weak and who's terrified at the transition. He's not there yet. And God's speaking right into his chest. And he's going, listen, I'm with you. You're going to own it. I'm going to give you authority. You're going to take all this territory. And it's coming from a credible source. Be strong and very courageous. So what's God saying when he says, be strong and courageous, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful. So got the stamp, entering into the new chapter. He's getting encouraged with promises. But hey, when you're in this space right here, if you're going to wield my authority, you need to be under my authority. And that's what God is saying. Write this down. You must be under authority to wield authority. When you're stepping in to God's plan and his kingdom, there's one rule, and it's not yours. And to align and get into the abundance from the wilderness, you have to be under his rule. And he tells Joshua, man, here's the secret, man. You're going to have my authority to take new territory, but you got to be under my authority to wield my authority. See, here's the thing with Christians. Sometimes they forget who's in charge. Amen? I forget who's in charge. I run ahead of the Lord. I stay behind the Lord. I kind of give myself permission not to do things that I know that God says to do. All right? And I take charge. I'm not under his authority. And you know, when we do that, when we're kind of like, yeah, great advice, Lord, but I'll take this one from here. You know? We're not yielded to his authority, so then we can't walk in his authority. You know what that's called? It's called spiritual integrity. It's when we're undivided between what we believe and how we live and think, and that's where the power is. The power, when you step in from disruption to transition and you're entering this new chapter of your life, is to be surrendered fully to the Lordship of Christ and to be humble and to be surrendered to what he says and to do what he says. So I got to accept my new authority to take new territory, but I got to yield to his authority to wield his authority. The next step in the conversation, now that we're kind of, all right, chapter closed, chapter opening, this is what's going to happen. I realize you're struggling internally with moving on with this. Well, guess what? Let me just speak right into your heart and your chest. Be strong and courageous. This is what's going to happen. And oh, by the way, make sure we're in close contact and we're having a conversation and you're doing what I tell you. Now we can get to the next step, which is I anticipate victories experientially. I anticipate victories experientially, right? Listen to what God says in verse 8 of chapter 1. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that, if you have a pencil and are taking notes, please underline that. It's a connective phrase, so that. So what's said before it, then there's a connective phrase, and here's the payoff for doing what's said before, the connective phrase. So that you may be careful to do everything in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. So what's God saying? When you have alignment, and this is going to rhyme, you have excitement. Alignment with God and his word and his plan and his will and his ways should produce in you excitement. Why? Because you're in a position to experience all the blessings in this new chapter. And you know what? That's what God's calling a lot of us to. Not in the spaces that people know you publicly, but in the spaces privately where people don't know you. It's not your image. It's who you are when no one is around. It's a behavior, an action, an attitude, a perspective that you're holding on to, and God's speaking into that. And he goes, I want alignment there. And a lot of times disruption gets us thinking about things we didn't think about before in our comfort. Right? The heat and the pressure of just circumstances, it kind of makes us a little vulnerable and makes the real us come out. But here we're looking at God having a monologue with a person who's struggling to make a transition, and he's moving him incrementally toward this place, and he's saying, guess what? You align with me, we're going to have some victories. You're going to win, but you have to align. And I love how it involves meditating on God's word. Now, if you are kind of messed up with what meditate is, it just means to think deeply and continuously on a thing. That's the definition of meditation. I like to think about it from a food perspective, all right? I like to think about it in terms of marination, right? How many people like ribs? Raise your hand. It's America. All right. So I make my own ribs. And the way I make them is I go to Costco and I buy something that was formerly alive. And then I cut it up. And then I put it in this big Tupperware that has my name in Sharpie on the bottom. And I make this bath. And it has 2 cups of soy sauce, 2 cups of fresh lemon juice, garlic, pepper, 24 ounces of Miller Genuine Draft. Sesame oil. And yeah, I think that's it. So I take the thing that was formerly alive, and then I cut it up, and then I put it into the Tupperware, and then I stick it in my garage refrigerator. And by the way, if you're a Pacific Islander, you have to have a garage refrigerator because the garage is also your dining room for the neighborhood. So like when you go to Hawaii, you just see all those lanais out there, and like the it's like they have a dining room outside. But, you know, my three neighbors in my first neighborhood when I moved here, they're Filipino, 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 Guamanian. It was like we're all in each other's garages, you know? Anyway, I digress. But I soak it, and I soak it for a long time. And what went in to the marinade previously, now it comes out the next day, and it's brown like me. And then you look at it and you're like, all the marinade and the character of the marinade has soaked into the meat. So when you put it on the grill, like pregnant women come from around the corner, they can smell it lofting. All my family comes back for seconds. I mean, these ribs are so mouthwatering and so good. I mean, it's just, I gotta make my ribs today. I think I'm gonna go to Costco. The point is that your mind and your heart, they work together. And they're soaking in something. They're soaking in social media, they're soaking in sports, they're soaking in the news, they're soaking in fear, they're soaking in fragmentation, they're soaking in what the future holds, they're soaking in, and you know what we need to be soaking in? We need to be soaking in this book. We need to be soaking in God's word. And as you soak in God's words, the character of God himself begins to permeate and take over your insides. And when you get put on the fire grill of life, you begin to actually move into the next chapter that God wants you to. That's why God says, hey, keep this book always on your lips. Keep it on your lips. Marinate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything in it. You know, marination precedes actualization, right? If I'm going to do God's will, I got to marinate. I got to meditate. And then if I'm meditating, the likelihood of me doing God's will, and remember that whole principle of alignment? Alignment creates excitement. So question for everybody, including myself, let's look in the mirror for a second. Hold up the mirror. What's your relationship with this book right now? Want to make the transition? Want to make it successfully? Want to be aligned with God? Take it out every day. Turn off your phone. Fast from news. Get a little bit more than this and a little bit less of that. Amen? Right? That's what we all need to do because that creates fear. This creates faith and excitement for what is next because we get a new vision of God and he tells us exactly what's going to happen and he has authority over all of this and he has a new chapter for us to enter into. So, what is God saying? Write this down. Soak your mind to experience success. It's a pretty simple recipe for making the transition from disruption and the wilderness to abundance and his destination. The next step and the last step that God asks Joshua to make is he needs to act with new security and energy emotionally. Now, here's why I'm saying this. You know, when God speaks to you a word, and he says it very personal, like he's talking right now and talking through our service and talking through worship and talking through that time. His revelation to you is not for consideration. It's for consumption emotionally so that you take it in. You say, yeah, I went to church today and God said this. All right, now you got to be careful who you say this to because they'll think you're a loon ball. But the reality is God spoke to you. What did God speak? And guess what? If God spoke, that gives me peace on the inside, emotionally. And now I can start putting energy that's consistent with what he has said, and man, I'm not afraid anymore, I'm secure. Security is the opposite of insecurity. So going forward in life today, tomorrow, the next day, you need a word from God. Amen? We all need a word from God. We need a promise of God. And when we have the promise of God, that gives us peace, and it might give us worth, and it might give us direction. And when we have a word from God, we're more confident, and emotionally, it's just like, all right, I can stop being cynical, and now I can start being more faithful. I can stop being fearful, and I can start being more faithful. Look at what God says in verses 9 through 11. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Are we emotionally taking the elevator ride up or what? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua, here's the response. We went from weak and terrified to strong and courageous. How do we know? Well, he's gone to a new place because then in verse 11, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, quote, go through the camp, tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Everybody say, for your own, for your own. That's what God's doing right now. He wants you to go in. He wants you to take possession. He's given you a promise. He's given you his presence. He wants to advance his purpose in you. What is it that requires faith and a risk from you right now? It could be as personal as an attitude. Could be maybe you need a little more humility. Maybe you need to change your attitude for a relationship to work. Maybe you're holding on to something that's not going to happen and you just have to let go. Maybe there was a chapter of your life that had a person in it. And this is really hard for a lot of people. Maybe they're not there anymore. And you need to move on. And it doesn't mean we forget their presence in our lives, but it means that God has a plan. And he wants you to experience that plan. Maybe it's a dream that died. And you can't figure out why, but God is speaking. And he's just saying, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. And it's time for you to activate and to rise. You know, new perspectives create new energy. And that's what I'm praying that God is giving to you right now. So what is God saying on this point that we need to act with a little more security and energy emotionally based on his person and presence being in our lives? God is saying, believe me and behave boldly in the open. You know what that requires? Faith. Behaving boldly requires faith because there's no way you can know before the fact if God's going to come through on his promise. Why? Because it takes faith. There's an element of the unknown that you have to step into. So what is it that God's calling you to step into? Right? Maybe it's a new venture. Maybe it's a new business. Maybe it's a new location. I don't know. Maybe it's a new church. Maybe it's men's Bible study. Maybe it's women's Bible study. What's an area of your life that God's saying, hey, you know what? You need to step into that. This is my will. And be bold. Versus what? Believe your fears and behave weakly. Why do I say it that way? Sounds kind of mean. Because that's from God's perspective. It's sort of like when a parent is in the pool and their kid is like on the ledge, like 6 inches away. And it's like, all right, let's go. I'm right here. It's like, The perspective of the father or the mother that's waiting to catch the person who's hesitating to jump is a little different than the person who's jumping, right? And yet, the perspective of the parent's like, nothing's going to happen to you. I'm right here. I'm an adult. I work out. I can catch you. But the perspective of the person who's jumping is like, I'm not sure. Well, guess what? You're not sure either what's going to happen. But you do know this. You sense that God is leading you to do something that is aligned with his plan and takes faith. Now, I don't know what that is for you, but you do. Will you do it? Listen to what God says in Isaiah 43 to his people who are having a little trouble moving on from this old experience with God. He says this, I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. Get this. But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. This is so upside down for the listener. Here's why. Because the narrative of the Exodus and the deliverance was everything to an Israelite. Moses, the sea, the plagues, Pharaoh, the chase, the army getting wiped out, you know, the manna in the wilderness. And you know what God's saying? You are trying to suck the anointing out of past experiences and to bring it into your present. And you think it's going to work for you there. I'm past that. Forget all that. I'm doing something new. Say this with me. God's doing something new. God's doing something new. What's the new thing he wants to do in your life? Only you can answer that question. I can't get inside your brain, or I can't follow you around in your life, but I do know that on this earth, God has greater things for you. Jesus said, whoever believes will do the works that I've been doing, and greater things will they do. What a great thing. Everybody say, whoever believes will do. Yeah, whoever believes will do. So it's assumed by Jesus that you're going to enter into some of these greater things. The question is, what are the greater things? Well, I know one of them. You're going to become more like Christ. Because that's the purpose of God. When you receive Christ, the person and work of Christ, when you cross the line, there's a work that begins in you, and the work in you is not purposed to stay there. The work in you is supposed to go out and through you to a world right now that needs God's people getting on to the next chapter and leading the way. This is our time to lead right now when a world is stuck in fear and darkness, and we have the hope and light of Jesus, and we're a people who knows that we're made by God, loved by God, and we're going back to God one day, but between now and then, our purpose is to shine the light of Christ. And that's what Crossline Church is all about. Amen? That's what we're doing here as a family. This is God's perspective in Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. It's really great. One of my favorite passages, because I get to this nexus of, God, you're calling me here, but do I have the spiritual guts, giving up trusting self, guts, to do it? I have it next to this verse. My righteous one will live by faith, it says, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we, God's people, do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. Your fear and acting out of fear will not save you, but your faith will cause you to move forward so that your faith embraces the future. Fear gets you stuck and paralyzed. Just like Joshua, we needed to hear this word. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. I'm going to be with you like I was with Moses. It's time to embrace, not refrain from embracing the next chapter. You know, how many of you love that picture of the lion like me? I've been to South Africa, spent time with lions. Have you ever heard a lion roar in real life? What I loved about that passage was that when a lion roars, it's sort of like putting its foot on the moment. And it's like, I'm here and I'm in charge. And you know, right now in this moment, I just see in my own mind, I see God like a lion just walking right into this room and right into your heart right now. And he's putting his paw right on your back and making a big roar. But what was cool about the passage is it says, and the lion roars and they settle in their home. Peace comes. Confidence comes. Why? Because God is in authority and God's in command and God's having a monologue with us just like he did with Joshua. And there's some new things that he wants us to do. He wants us to move from isolation to connection. He wants us to move from fear to faith. He wants us to move from thinking about ourselves all the time to thinking about others some of the time. He wants us to take some time away from the news and social media and get a little bit more time in His Word so that we can align. And as we align, we get excited. He wants us to stop competing for toilet paper at Target. And He wants us to start connecting with people who are filled with fear. I was on my way home from doing a wedding in Laguna Beach yesterday, and it was decorating night in the Luck household, which means my mother-in-law's coming over, which means I'm going to buy Antonucci's pizza, a large pepperoni, pineapple, and onion with extra sauce so that she can enjoy that as she transforms our house from a very average Christmas house to like a boutique. So I go to Antonucci's Pizza, and there's like four or five guys sitting in there. We're all masked up. And the poor fella at the takeout counter is just, he's overwhelmed, like he's overrun. And he says, "Judy, Judy, your fettuccine Alfredo's ready." And this guy gets up, and I'm like, "You're Judy?" And he has a cane, and it's very clear that he has a muscular disease. And so I watch him go get his little bag, and it's like, "Oh, I had a pizza with that." He's like, "Oh, it's not ready yet, sorry, but you can take this bag." And I thought, okay, this guy's struggling just to walk to the takeout counter. How is he going to get back with a cane and struggle and then carry a bag? And he, you know, I'm like, this guy's probably really good at it because he has to be. And he hooks the bag and he goes back and he goes back and he sits down. And I'm sitting next to him. I'm like, "So your parents named you Judy?" He laughed. And we started a conversation about, "You good with the pizza? Like when they call the pizza up, are you good to get to the car?" He goes, "Yeah, I think I will be." And I thought to myself, behind all these masks are people. And they're depleted, and they're tired, and they're struggling, and they just want somebody to ask them a question. You're those people. Just a little humanity behind this big disruption. And guess what? It was a great connect. And I got a new buddy. His name's actually Steve. But you know what? I share that because I believe that this disruption is the perfect context for an eruption of spiritual revival. Because people don't want to be afraid. They want to know there's hope. And you know who contains the hope? You do, because you know Jesus. But you got to get to that place where you're like Joshua and like, "All right, I got God's perspective now. I'm going to rise into this moment." So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. So you can put your pencils down and quiet yourself. And I don't know what's going on in your life, but I do know this. God sees you. God loves you. And He has a great purpose for you right now. Not when everything is resolved, not when there's this big catharsis and everything goes back to normal. In fact, He's been waiting for you to surrender in the midst of this so that He can bring real peace. And He wants you to know that real peace isn't when all the pieces of your life are in order. Real peace comes in the midst of the pressure. Jesus said and wants to give you right now, "My peace I give you. My peace I leave you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." Receive the peace of Christ this morning. Receive your hope in Him. Recommit yourself to the next chapter. Tell God He's the vine and you're the branch. Tell God He's the potter and you're the clay. Tell God right now that He's the shepherd and you're a sheep that will die if left unattended. And then thank Him for His grace. Thank Him for His redemption. Thank Him for your future. Be strong and be very courageous. That's the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.